This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. Republicans still plan to have their tax bill on the president's desk by Christmas, and the party needs nearly every vote to sign the ambitious plan into law. So will they get the support of their party? Also, Democratic Senator-elect Doug Jones won the red state of Alabama. He ran against Donald Trump's choice, Roy Moore, who faces multiple allegations of sexual misconduct. Speaking of sexual misconduct, will there be an investigation into the many allegations surrounding Donald Trump? That would add to the president's woes as the probe into his campaign's alleged connection to Russian election meddling gets ever closer to the Oval Office. Here to talk about the week in politics is political junkie Ken Rudin. Hello, Ken.
Frank, was that all just 1 week?
Read any good books lately? Exactly. Or should we talk politics? Yes, it was. It was 1 week, and that's not even all of it. But let's talk with start with Doug Jones and his victory in Alabama.
Well, that was, I mean, to take a Donald Trump word, that was huge. This is a state where Donald Trump won by 28 percentage points last year. This is Doug Jones is a pro-choice Democrat and a liberal pro-choice Democrat. And as far as I know, Alabama doesn't usually elect liberal pro-choice Democrats, but here he is. And they haven't elected a Democrat to the Senate since 1992. And that guy is Richard Shelby, who later switched to the GOP. So it's not a good area. It's not a good place where Democrats usually win, at least not in recent decades. And yet Doug Jones did it.
Roy Moore, his defeat and the victory of Doug Jones has allowed the Democrats to dare to hope. But should they? Was this just a one-off? We know Roy Moore's problems. He is alleged to have had made sexual advances to underage girls, and that has to hurt you in a state like Alabama. So is this transferable, or is this just a one-off?
Well, that's a great question, and we don't know the answer to that. But if you combine it, and if you're a Democrat and you look at what happened last month in Virginia, where Democrats, which is still a purple state, even though it already had a Democratic governor, lieutenant governor, attorney general, and two Democratic senators, but still it's considered a purple state. And yet the polls showed it very, very close, and it wasn't. There was a huge black turnout in Virginia, and, of course, a huge black turnout in Alabama. Whether it transfers to 2018 is a good question. There are 33 Senate seats up in 2018. 25 of them are now held by Democrats, which means Democrats are still far more vulnerable to and perhaps even a better chance of losing seats in 2018. But if Trump's numbers stay low and the black and the female communities, the voting communities, get united, the Democrats certainly see a reason to hope for 2018.
And if you look at the both Virginia and Alabama, where the black vote certainly contributed to surprising and upset wins, is there a way that that brings momentum to the 2018? In other words, what do we learn if you're a Democrat? What did you learn in Virginia and Alabama and organize across the country?
That's exactly right. And I mean, you know, if you think of 2016, everybody, it seems like the Hillary Clinton campaign, many Democrats were talking about working class white voters. We heard that in Michigan. We heard that in Pennsylvania. We heard that in Wisconsin. That was the key for the Democrats to win it. Working class whites and black voters who have always been, who have always come out for Democratic candidates or often taken for granted. They said, well, look, you know, maybe you're focusing on the wrong electorate here. We've been loyal, and we need a reason to come out. The fact is that the African-American turnout this week in Alabama was larger than it was for – not only was it larger than Hillary Clinton, but it was larger than it was for Barack Obama in Alabama. Of course, Obama and Clinton got clobbered in Alabama. But the fact that the community united – and, of course, Roy Moore was the perfect candidate to unite the black community, just as it was a good reason to disrupt and undermine Republican unity, because he was a flawed candidate. Does it mean this is what happens in 2018? Well, if I was if I'm a Democrat, I'll still take it, given the fact that if you look at all the other early special elections in 2017, the Republicans were winning, and then the Democrats seemed very disheartened. They don't seem disheartened now.
Let's talk about women for just a second. And the women's vote, if we take a look at the rising number of sexual misconduct cases that are coming to our attention, the fact that in Minnesota, the replacement for Al Franken is a woman, Tina Christina Smith, right? So not only does the Senate have one more Democrat, it now has one more woman. And again, I guess going into the 2018 election where women's votes and African-American votes count, this is something to think about if you're a Democrat or a Republican.
Absolutely. I mean, we do know that Donald Trump was inaugurated on January 20th, but we do know what happened the day later with the women's marches in Washington, New York, all around the country. The fact that the anger that was there regarding what Trump said about women, the famous Access Hollywood tape, and we thought that was gone for the longest time. I mean, a lot of women accused, charged President Trump, or then candidate Donald Trump, and even before he was a candidate, with sexual impropriety over the years. A former Miss North Carolina talked about how Trump would wander through the Miss USA dressing rooms while they were naked, and he would just, you know, this is the way he treated women. So it was there in 2016. It seemed to disappear, but given with all the Al Franken, John Conyers, Trent Franks, other Democrats and Republicans, plus the Harvey Weinsteins of the world in business, in the media world, these things are no longer pushed under the table. And we saw it last week when at least three women had a press conference, including the former Miss North Carolina, who talked about what Donald Trump did and said, look, you know, if Al Franken is gone, if John Conyers is gone, if others are members of Congress are gone, how is everybody gone but the president of the United States? And so you have a lot of Democratic members, including some Republicans, but Democratic women in the Senate, notably Kirsten Gillibrand, who said that you know, if he's not going to resign, at the minimum, there should be investigations of him.
All right. And on the Republicans, so the Democrats have some reason to hope. Republicans have a lot of reason to worry, particularly the growing split between the Steve Bannon camp and the party leadership.
Well, that's very important, because even though everybody says Steve Bannon was the big loser in Alabama, and Steve Bannon was pushing Roy Moore from the beginning, he didn't like the establishment, the Luther Strange, who was the original choice of President Trump, and Mitch McConnell, and Steve Bannon campaigned in Alabama as much for Roy Moore as he did against Mitch McConnell. Now, after the election was over, McConnell said, well, Steve Bannon is the big loser. I mean, the Republican Party can't afford these kind of candidates, the Roy Moores, the Christine O'Donnells. Remember, she was the witch, the witch in Delaware, the Todd Akins in Missouri, who talked about legitimate rape. So there are a lot of candidates that they may be very conservative, but they're flawed candidates. Steve Bannon, though, does not feel contrite at all. He says that we picked the right candidate, and we're going to do the same thing in 2018. He promises primary challenges against the eight or seven Republicans who are seeking re-election in 2018, and he's going to fight the McConnell wing of the party when it comes to primaries and the other seats at stake as well. So the party, even though I still think that the Republican Party dodged a bullet by not having Roy Moore in the Senate, because I think he would have been a terrible distraction, especially if they were going to try to push him out. But at the same time, he's, you know, I think the Republican Party did dodge a bullet, but I think that Bannon did not learn that kind of lesson. And he said, we need more Roy Moores in the Senate and not fewer.
Well, if there's anything maybe looking more hopeful for Republicans, it might be this tax plan, albeit one that Americans don't seem to like, but they will get it through. And they did promise, or they appear to be. Where are we now on the tax plan?
Well, you know, the big headline yesterday was Marco Rubio saying that I won't vote for it unless it includes more money for the child tax credits. And of course, we always hear these Republicans saying, like Ron Johnson of Wisconsin did this a few weeks ago, I'm not going to vote for it unless there's more money for small businesses. They always make these claims that they're not going to vote for it, and they always knuckle under. I think there's a spineless hashtag on Twitter about this, but it looks like the Republican leadership has knuckled under. There is more money now going for the child tax credit that apparently will bring Marco Rubio on board. There's still no guarantee of a Republican victory. I mean, Bob Corker voted against the plan when it was first submitted to the Senate, and then there's questions about Susan Collins, how she feels about the loss of the individual mandate regarding abortion. But one thing, first of all, the Republicans are definitely going to push this through before Doug Jones gets sworn in. That's a guarantee, because they can't afford to lose another Senate vote. And I kind of think that, you know, they lost on
ACA,
healthcare, yeah, overhaul, and they lost on a lot of things. They really, really want this bill, and by all accounts, It looks like they will have the votes. It will be on the president's desk before Christmas. But again, nothing is guaranteed anymore. And let's just see what Susan Collins does. Will John McCain make it to the Senate for the vote? He's apparently his health is becoming more precarious. It's still not a done deal. But if I had to bet, I think it's going to happen, but...
Well, the complications, one of the complications are, as they knuckle under, most of these concessions add more money to the deficit. In other words, so that makes it more likely that the deficit hawks won't like the changes they've made. I mean,
well,
is that not
exactly
true?
Exactly right. I mean, most of these Republicans were elected to Congress saying that they're deficit hawks, unlike those tax-and-spend liberal Democrats. And here these Republicans are having to swallow a $1.5 trillion addition to the deficit over 10 years, which is exactly the anathema to what they've been campaigning on. Now, even when they add more money because of the child tax credit, that adds to the deficit as well. And there are some rules in there that said they can't be doing this. So there are some Republicans who say, whoa, this is getting way out of hand. But there's tremendous pressure on the Republican Party to stay united and get this passed because they need to show something to the voters in 2018.
This means that we will have something to talk about the next time you're on our program.
You think?
Ken Rudin is the political junkie. Thank you, Ken.
Thank you, Frank.
Links to Ken Rudin and the political junkie and all that we talk about at our website, stateofthings.org. Just ahead, from politics to pie, we're going to talk about holiday food traditions with three North Carolina writers, and we'll do that on The State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Please stay with us.